Welcome back, everyone, to our wonderful 3PL Summit, and I'm very excited to have one of my good friends here, Ryan Schreiber, Chief Growth Officer over at Metafora, and we're diving into the good old question of how to evaluate freight tech products in the industry. Ryan, thank you so much for joining me. I'm excited to get into a topic that you and I talk about pretty much all the time.
I actually think it's like the first thing you and I ever talked about.
True. Actually, very good point.
I'm 99% sure this is how we met, but it's definitely the thing we talk about the most frequently.
Yeah. And a good thing for you, this is the key part of your job and what you're working every single day. So for our audience, this is the perfect person to get an idea of what's happening now in this space and really what to focus on. So I want to start off the bat is it's diving into tech solutions in general. How do businesses consider or even start to make a list of technology solutions that might be right for them and their business as a whole?
Like the number one mistake that we see people make is not realizing that they need to start with the business problems they're trying to solve. And then that's number one. So before you even start making a list of what technology could potentially solve your problem, number one, you definitely need to understand what the business problem is you're trying to solve. And you need to understand that problem really, really specifically. Let's say you're looking for a capacity solution. Are you looking to drive automation around the capacity network you already have? Or do you feel like you need better carriers, you know, to haul your freight because you're trying to solve for, you know, consistent capacity or increased books per head? Like, why are you trying to solve this problem with technology? That's number one. Then number two, you have to, again, before you even start making a list, understand how this technology, whatever technology solution you want or that's going to be scoped, is going to fit within the ecosystem of the other solutions that you have. How are people going to interact with it? What's their workflow going to look like, right? So you don't run into a situation like we've all experienced where you have 10 different apps that do 10 different things and your reps have to go into 10 different screens to accomplish one task, or they're integrated into a TMS or some other app. And then they operate suboptimally because that's not how they were designed. So you really have to understand those two things before you even start making a list.
For you, especially nowadays, as we've seen more automation, are there key areas, and I think you named a few right there, were there key areas that businesses should consider looking at that you find, I mean, with margins shrinking, right, will make them sustainable over time?
Absolutely. That's another conversation that you and I had a long time ago, right? You called me one day and you're like, do we need to prepare for a low margin future? And if you remember what I said was, yes, because there's one of two possible futures. Either you have to survive in a low margin future, right? In which case you made those plans and you did, or you don't have to survive in a low margin future and you've created yourself a competitive advantage, right? Where you have price elasticity and things like that. And so that's a great point, Grace. And that's another, just kind of call back to the 5 years or so that we've been friends. Absolutely, the focus right now and the opportunity with technology right now is less around automation. What we're seeing at Metafora in the market largely is folks are a bit disillusioned with tech solutions that have come up over the last really probably 6, 7, 8 years because they're too automation focused. So right now, the opportunity in the space is focusing on technology tools that enable users, right? So user enablement. If you think about just like operate the business is maybe like the first step. The first step in applying technology is enable users. And then the third step is automate the things that are working perfectly. And in that middle band of focusing on solutions that can enable users, that really is where users can, you know, increase load count per head per day, again, whether that's kind of like front of the house or operations type application. So that's really where a lot of the focus is today. And that's where the real value is, because that also gets into things like AI ML and helping to capture some of the data that you need so that you can be what we would refer to as AI ready.
Yeah. On that note, I'm interested in like, how do you go about having these conversations with tech providers and realistically looking to upgrade, and especially when we talk about AI and machine learning, upgrading your tech stack into that realm, but also finding the right partner to help you make those steps. Because I think one thing you and I always talk about is like, a lot of times it's the implementation of technology that goes wrong in this space. So
that's
like,
right.
how do you do that due diligence to make sure that you have a partner that's not only going to sell you something that could work for anyone, but it's going to make sure that you end up actually getting the ROI out of it at the end of the day?
That's, you know, what an incredible question. And certainly, like, we could spend an hour, 2 hours, 5 hours talking through that. But because, like, the thing that you're highlighting that's the most important is that 90%+ of the time, from what we see at Metaphor with our clients and just like our industry relationships, is that the reason the technology or digital transformations fail is entirely the customer's fault, right? The broker or carrier, in this context, the 3PL who made the decision, because either they didn't fully support the implementation, right, or they got sold something. And so that's a key. So the number one key there in terms of how do you pick the right vendor is, again, it starts within the four walls of your business. You need to understand what you need from a vendor before you even go out looking for a vendor. So some key things to consider: what type of support are you going to need from a vendor in implementation? How mature does that organization need to be able to be in supporting you? How do they handle support, right? How mature is their technology solution, or is it early stage? How flexible is their technology solution? How much implementation does it even need? And so if you're an organization that's going to need just kind of an off the shelf, easily implementable, just kind of plug and play solution, that looks a lot different than something that's going to need a lot of customization. And no matter what, you are going to have to take on some of that work. And so you really need to be prepared to ask the tough questions of the potential partner or vendor about what they will do and what they won't do in supporting you, and how much effort it's going to take from yourself to kind of get where you want to go. And that's both technical and non-technical implementation, right? Because the change management is a huge part of it. And there's only so much the vendor can really do to help support you there. You have to take on a lot of that work yourself. You always will. But what tools do they have to support you in that? And are you even willing to make the changes necessary to drive the type of transformational improvement and get the ROI you want?
Would you say that experience changes if you're becoming either like an early adopter of a new technology, yeah, new course. TMS, compared to like a late adopter of like McCloud or something like that?
That's absolutely changes. And here's the key: are you ready to be an early adopter? Where do you fall, and are you ready? Because again, if you want to go toward the tried and true established solutions, McCloud is you in your example, right? McCloud has an entire infrastructure to support you, right? If something happens, they have the SLAs in place, they have the support team, they have all of that laid out. Right. And so they're able to support you through that process more than a company that's on the earlier end of the adoption. So you may want to take advantage of some emerging technologies, and TMS might be the bad example for that, perhaps. But if you want to take advantage of some of the emerging technologies, you have to recognize that the organizational maturity of a potential vendor is going to mean that there are going to be hiccups and along the way that you and your team are going to have to resource for. And you should, if that's what you want to do, you just need to go into it eyes wide open.
You bring up like this organizational maturity aspect, and I think this industry is becoming so tech driven to begin with. Do you feel like you're seeing more tech-related roles becoming invested in a traditional brokerage than we've seen in the past? Do you feel like people are becoming a little bit more aware of their own personal or own organizational investment into a technology provider compared to what you've seen, I mean, even 10 years ago?
Without a doubt. I mean, even than I've seen with 3 years ago, Grace. Like, it's absolutely a huge focus for the companies that are doing it well. Now, there's a lot of companies that aren't making those choices right now, and those companies are the ones who are wasting money on technology and who are not getting the value and the benefits that they expect to get from technology. They expect technology to solve all of their problems. They're not doing some of the foundational work and discovery necessary to get the benefits of technology. They're building random pieces of technology that don't do them any good, right? They are they're really not being intentional about their strategy. Any strategy can work. This is what I tell our clients all the time. Any strategy can work. You have to understand the limitations of that strategy and then invest around the limitations of that strategy, right? And so that's absolutely a huge part of it. So the ones that are doing it well, folks want to know how RXO did so well last year, right? I mean, that's one of the big pieces of conversation. And I was texting you about that the other day. RXO did incredibly well last year because they invested in integrating acquisitions, right? They invested in change management as a core capability. And when they couldn't, they did invest in outside help, right? To help them with some of that stuff that wasn't maybe going to be a core capability or where they needed additional support. So you don't have to do it all on your own, obviously. I'm a consultant here to tell you, you definitely don't have to do it all on your own. Call your boy. But you need to make sure, or if you're going to do it, you got to do it. You need to invest in doing it right, or you're never going to see the ROI that you want to. And then you're not going to trust any ROI calculations that you ever see. And then you're stuck in this cycle. And that's a big part of the reason we see these things fail.
Yeah, it's, I was really excited. I'm glad they brought RXO because I think that showcases, right? I mean, talk about how new they are. I mean, yes, they spun off from a great organization, but since they've spun off, that's been their biggest focus is we are tech driven. We make decisions based on our tech and our data. And I think you're exactly right. You had a post about the other day on LinkedIn, how much that's paid off for them in what the last year. So it's a pretty big turnaround for them. I'm excited to watch them grow. And speaking of growth, I'm interested in your thoughts on looking into technology, but also considering the scalability of that technology and the future solutions that could come off of that tech as well. How do you examine that in these discussions?
That's a really difficult question to answer quickly, but it definitely starts with understanding what type of support you need and what scalability you need. Whether the application is technically scalable is like going to put people to sleep, and I genuinely probably couldn't even answer that anyway. But whether it can scale or needs to scale in terms of to be able to support your business misunderstands the point around what type of improvement do you need from the technology. So I would encourage people to think about what do you need this for, and then how to minimize switching costs. So start thinking about making smaller decisions and creating a technology ecosystem that works cohesively together. Remember, I talked about how is this application going to work with any other application that you're already working. There may be some redundancies if you're a heavy buy organization, right? And then if you create a technology ecosystem, you're creating a situation where switching costs is then lower, right? So that you can make those changes to the extent that you have challenges with the technology supporting your organization as it grows and changes and scales.
It's funny too. I could think we could go on to that discussion for probably another 30 minutes if we wanted to. We got a few minutes left here with you. I guess a big question I want to ask is a lot of the technology that we're seeing today is data driven, is analytics driven in particular. Would you recommend that people going in any type of analytics play or any type of like bringing third party data, look at themselves internally first before making that decision as well?
I'm really glad you said that, because every time we talk about third party data and what third party data is available to you, my job is essentially to go into these brokers and carriers and walk around and meet the people and what have you. And every time I walk through the doors, I look around and I just see all of the first party data lying on the floor, right? And a lot of that's about connected technology ecosystem, right? But like your phone system as a provider, as a 3PL especially is the single greatest source of information for you that you could possibly imagine. And not like how many calls has somebody made today, but getting specific on what that call was associated, like what vendor or customer that call was associated with, why that call happened. And so when I talked earlier about focusing on, user enablement, right, before automation, That was a huge part of it. There's a lot of value in third-party data. There's a lot of value in data that like Sonar, for instance, but you have to be able to make use of it. And if you can start with focusing on gathering or creating a connected technology ecosystem where you can get more and better access to your first-party data, that is absolutely the first step in AI readiness. Before you even think about AI, you need to think about AI readiness. That's absolutely the first step, Gracie. And like I said, go back to RXO. That's one thing that RXO has done better than other companies is focus on getting that first party data and really making sure that it's captured, investing in creating that flywheel of first party data and data science, right? With third party data, user enabled workflows, right? And continuous improvement, change management, and reinvest in that, right? And just keep doing that over and over. And that's how they've been able to do what they've done in a down market and outperform everyone. And that's the hard part.
Yeah. No, I love it. Even thinking of like the text messages you're missing between drivers and carrier reps and like all these different ways of communicating, like how much are you capturing and how much is just going right by you, right? So
observed behavior is observing people do things. And if you learn about data science and AI, ML, really ML, the more you learn about ML, the more you learn about data science, the more that observing people do things is more valuable than asking them, you know, what they need or want or what have you.
Yeah. Well, this has been a great fireside chat between the two of us. I'm sure we'll have many other great conversations in the future for our audience. Thank you for checking this out. I think Ryan gave at least some very easy points and areas for people to start off and where to grow. And other than that, enjoy the rest of today's summit.